Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Conservative Talk Radio, where we're always right and never left. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. I want to send out prayers to all of those officers and loved ones who have lost service persons through the various wars through our nation's history. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all of those who have served and sacrificed their life for us to have the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy today. And I also want to send a special prayer and thank you to my father, who has passed, and he was also a late World War II Navy veteran. I want to include him in my prayers as well. We have an exciting show today. I have a friend of mine named Walt, who is an avid person in the energy field, and he's going to talk about America's current energy crisis, and he's going to talk about energy, and he's going to bring a different perspective today about energy, the need for it, why we have it, and what is good, really good for our world if we want to have a real better environment. His resume is too long to go over. I'll probably take up a whole show just talking about his resume. So without any further ado, let me welcome to the show my dear friend, energy advocate, Walter Horsing. How are you, sir?
I'm doing terrific, Chauncey. How about you?
I'm doing well. Did I pronounce your last name right? Horsing? Horsing?
Horsing, yeah.
Horsing. Yeah, talk Horsing. A little bit about
Ryan
yourself. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Thanks. Well, I apologize. There's a little delay. But talk a little bit about your background, who you are, and the role that you're playing currently in America as it relates to energy, and share some of your brief knowledge with us.
Well, I've been blessed with having the ability to be involved in significant projects in the United States and into the Middle East, working for large projects that range from a Nike World Headquarters campus to a mega mall in Dubai to Bloomberg's Media Center in New York to a recent oil and gas headquarters project in Houston. So I've been around a lot of people that are putting a lot of facilities together and helping in the areas of technology teams for projects.
That is awesome. I don't want to get too much into politics today. I want to try to stick to information that will help our audience understand what is transpiring. Now, there's various types of energy. We have gas, we have solar, we have wind, we have electric, we have nuclear. What type of energy do you think that is good overall for our environment and for how we live in today's climate?
Well, I think political leanings towards energy right now are being driven by a fear of carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide happens to be the most precious trace gas of life on the planet. And CO2 has been demonized by many on the left to be a reason to spend trillions upon trillions of dollars building what I call unrenewables as energy sources, California being a leading sponsor of this madness. California turns it's back on the San Onofre nuclear power station in San Diego, and it's 2.4 gigawatts of emission-free 24/7 energy. And since closing that down, the state of California's power needs, it suddenly is producing 250% more emissions to just power the state. The reason is that renewable energy is only good for when the sun is shining for solar panels, and what's known as the solar duck in the industry is that all the solar rooftops that California is building produces too much solar during peak hours, and the state is actually being forced to pay the states of Nevada and Arizona 8 cents a kilowatt hour to take our excess power during that brief period where we're producing too much solar energy. The problem is after the sun goes down, we don't have enough wind to necessarily power the state, and there's a need for power generators like coal plants in Utah and New Mexico are feeding in power from coal power plants, which are less clean than natural gas plants. And if I was to say the best way forward for the United States in the near term is that we should be utilizing our abundant resources of natural gas and building combined cycle power plants while we're waiting for fourth generation nuclear plants to be shipping towards the end of this decade.
Thank you very much for that extremely informative introduction. There is something that stuck out in my mind, and I want to bring it to light to the audience. We've talked about this off air. Carbon dioxide is one of the most important gases for the building block for photosynthesis. And please correct me if I'm wrong. And that's how we have plant life, the water, basically every living thing that exists depends on carbon dioxide for the evolution of the growth to continue the cycle. Am I pretty much in the right frame of mind with that perspective?
Well, you get rid of CO2 and you end life on the planet.
Okay. That's even a better way of prefacing it. And it's really sad that that most people on the left, I know I've did some, some postings about it, and I'm just baffled how the left talks about climate change, that it's an alarming rate based on what we're doing. And you posted up something today, I believe, that really the narrative that's pushed is not the reality that's really being presented by factual data.
Well, let me give you a little historical information on CO2, for instance. Not many people know that nearly 20,000 years ago, during the last full glaciation on the planet, when there was a mile or two of ice over Chicago, New York, and two over Toronto, that CO2 levels fell to within 30 parts per million of plant extinction levels. And when we warmed up out of the full glacier period into our current era, which is called the Holocene, 6,000 years ago, 6 to 8,000 years ago, is called the Holocene Optimum. and also sea level high stand. And not many people know that only 6,000 years ago, sea levels were 2 meters higher than they are today. The only reason we're getting a little sea level rise in the last couple of hundred years has been the glaciers have stopped advancing during the Little Ice Age, which ended about 200-300 years ago. So we're, as the climate, we're very fortunate, very blessed to be in a mild thaw out of the coldest era of the last 8,000 years called the Little Ice Age. Essentially, people died a lot because crops failed. They didn't have a lot of good growing seasons because it was cold, wet, and miserable. And now we've been blessed with a little warm spell. Sea levels have grown 9 inches in the past 150 years. Not much. So very far from capturing back the 2 meters of sea level that had fallen from 6,000 years ago. So climate is not a real serious concern unless we go into the next cooling cycle, which we will in 200, 500 years. Who knows? We'll go into another deep cooling cycle.
Well, thank you so much. For those that are tuning in, you're listening to Conservative Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We're blessed to have in the studio energy advocate Walter Hosing talking about energy in America. I just want to take up in our last 10 minutes of the show, I want to move to politics for a second, and I want to ask you a question. Is America experiencing a current energy crisis today? And if it is, why? And if it's not, why?
Well, I think we've since the administration's changed, we cut off a vital pipeline underway from Canada.
That XL
was
pipeline,
also
yes.
Tied, yeah, that was also tied into our shale reserves in North Dakota. That was part of our plan. We're dropping a lot of what we're doing in LNG exports, and now we're importing oil instead of being independent of imports that where we were set up in the last administration. Regardless of what you thought about Trump the man, the energy policies that he was promoting were terrific, I think, for the basic driver of a car or driver of a truck. You know, the energy fuel costs have gone very high.
That's a very interesting point. Not only the fuel costs skyrocketed under the last administration, made us energy not only independent, but a leader of exporting energy to other countries. And it's sad because, you know, we had an opportunity to continue in that vein. And it's unfortunate now with this new administration, which is purely my own personal opinion, politically based. And as you alluded to and stated, we are importing again. All that does, in my personal opinion, is undermine our ability to be energy independent and to become more dependent on other nations. And I think that in these times that we're living in, Donald Trump or the last administration was ahead of its time because, you know, all you have to do is cut out our energy supply and you don't have to have a war by weapons. And it's very troubling to see that this type of administration is taking the approach to be more dependent on China and on Russia than on our own resources and cutting out American jobs as a result.
Well, we turned our back on Canada, on the pipeline,
mm-hmm.
and we acquiesced to Putin's gas pipeline to Germany. You know, it's crazy.
That baffled me when I read that article. It really did. It baffled me. You know, you cut off America, you cut off people's jobs, yet you support Russia's pipeline. It's just really beyond my comprehension and my level of understanding. It's just, it's sad, to say the least. And if we continue to go this route, well, I mean, the gains that have been made in this last administration, unfortunately, I mean, they're just taking a swipe to everything that is put in place to benefit America and all of its inhabitants. This administration is just a disaster, for lack of a better term.
Well, go ahead.
No, please. Go ahead, Walt.
Well, I was going to say that the new green energy deal is a fantasy land of what they are trying to do, both in the United States and worldwide. While China is expanding its use of coal, it's having it's currently has 2,360 plus coal plants. It's under development of another 1,100, close to 1,200 coal plants. It's financing another 500 coal plants throughout the Far East, and is exporting to the United States and the Western nations all of its essentially slave-built solar panels and wind turbines. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy what's going on. So China's just finished a 200-mile, 2-million-ton-a-year coal railroad to supply coal to its plants. I think the developing world is, including Mexico, wants cheap energy, not intermittent, low-density, renewable energy. And if everybody cleaned up their smokestacks as best as possible, they would get the energy they need to keep people out of poverty. What the West is doing right now is going on a scheme where for solar, turning their back on nuclear, they're investing in a technology over a 100-year period will take 36 times as much metal and material to build and maintain and replace all of the solar panels needed to supply the energy. The false premise of building, you could power the world with solar panels by covering the nation of Spain with solar panels. The only hitch with that problem is that if you tried to do that, you'd need the crust of seven Earths to mine enough silver to make the panels with.
Yeah. You know, I just can't comprehend how you're going to, not you per se, the government is going to alter and change our total infrastructure of how we rely on energy now to go green. Like you said, it's a fantasy. It's far-fetched. I mean, the amount of money to turn everything around, I mean, it's just unconscionable. That, like you said, it's a fantasy land. It's a dream. There's no way that we could possibly undertake that type of massive role in our infrastructure to take over and redo our whole grid, gas, electric. I can't see it either, and I'm just a layperson.
Well, the problem is with renewables, you need to build the identical backup power plant that uses fossil fuels to step in a peaker fashion that can turn on instantaneously and supply the grid with the power. The problem with peaker plants is that they don't operate efficiently as a combined cycle, meaning you're pulling the heat off the combustion and using that heat to further do another cycle of power generation. So it's called combined cycle plants. And that will extract the most amount of energy from burning natural gas, for instance, or, you know, the LNG that's converted to natural gas. And you don't have to build all of the renewable panels or wind farms and keep that impact down to the minimum in terms of what we're doing to the planet. I don't know if you've ever driven out to Palm Springs from L.A. and seen the turbines along the wind turbines along the freeway. But
no, I haven't been out in I haven't been to California in about 15 years, so I have not seen it.
Well,
maybe a little longer.
Or Altamont Pass out of San Francisco, or in the Delta of California, there's a lot of bird loss, raptors and bats that are getting killed worldwide by these wind turbines. And in Germany, they're ripping out parts of the Black Forest to build wind farms. I mean, it's absolute insanity what's going on in some of the most beautiful forests on the planet. So I think we really need a minimalist approach, a very conservative approach to how we shepherd the natural resources of the planet. And I would say natural gas combined cycle for right now, and wait till what I think is the best energy source to be capitalized on is fourth generation molten salt reactors, nuclear power, which were originally developed in the 1950s at Oak Ridge National Labs and was tested in the 1960s successfully. So there's a great, safe, can't blow up, can't melt down energy source called molten salt nuclear reactor that can power grid and microgrids. The thing that has been forgotten, or not forgotten, but many people aren't aware of what happened in 1863 was a thing called the Carrington event. And that was a massive sun flare, that a coronal mass ejection that hit Earth. And at that time, we only had telegraph lines to be impacted. And telegraph lines across the planet were melting down from the energy impulse from the sun. And if that happened today, with solar panels everywhere, you would see massive outages that would not be replaceable in the near future. So there's a massive problem with solar panels in a highly agitated sun that can occur. Toronto went into a blackout because of a minor coronal mass ejection that occurred in Toronto a couple of decades ago. And the Earth going around the sun, a big coronal mass ejection just missed Earth's pass by 6-7 days of Earth's orbit. just missed missed us a couple of months ago. That could have been a major problem.
Well, you talk about the sun energy. Is that the same equivalent of like a EMP, which I believe is called electronic or EPM, electronic magnetic pulse? That's a natural electronic magnetic pulse occurring with the sun versus if one of our adversaries want to alter the electronic magnetic pulse. Just briefly explain the two. We explain the sun. How could it be done by an adversary? And then we have to wrap up after that.
Okay. Well, in our bikini nuclear hydrogen tests, we set off a hydrogen bomb in low Earth orbit that caused an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, that blacked out Hawaii briefly. And what is theorized is that one or two devices over the United States blown up in orbit would take out the whole electrical system of the United States. And surely millions would die from the disruption of commerce.
Of course, there would be no way to transport food. Fuel would be shut down. We wouldn't be able to grow food. So that would be absolutely a terrible disaster situation to put us in. You know, Walt, I want to thank you very much for you taking time out of your schedule on Memorial Day to come on our show and talk and educate my listeners about energy and briefly what's transpiring in America today. I hope that in the near future, if you have time, you will consider to come back on again and enlighten my audience more of your findings that you have found by your studying and by the work you do to help raise the level of consciousness of the American people. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Well, I'm honored and look forward to future dialogue.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day today, you and your family, and happy Memorial Day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Conservative Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We were blessed to have in the studio energy expert Walter Hosting, talking about America's current energy crisis, talking about wind, solar, the Green New Deal. He unpacked a great deal of information in a short period of time that I hope my listeners will be able to take with them and do some additional research and learn from. One of the most impactful statements that was made today is that CO2 or carbon dioxide is not an enemy of the planet, but it is an aid to the planet to help aid in photosynthesis and all of the life that we have on Earth for it to continually to evolve. You can follow Conservative Talk Radio. We're on Parler, Conservative Talk Radio. We are on LinkedIn. We're on Facebook, all over the place. Please, you can follow us and listen to this show on Conservative Talk Radio show on Spreaker. We want to thank all of us for tuning in. Check back. We are trying to get a regular schedule on every Monday. As you know, I'm also the host of the Chauncey Show on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But check back and look for our updates, and we thank you all for tuning in today on your Memorial Day. God bless you all, and once again, we want to thank all of those who served and who have passed. We want to thank them for their service, and we want to thank also their families for their commitment to all of the people who serve. God bless you all. Have a blessed day, and remember, keep the faith. Good night now.